I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gentle weed. I'm back in the saddle again.
That's right, folks. It's another visit with all the gang here at Melody Ranch. There's Pat Buttram, the Cass Colley Boys, the Gene Autry Blue Jeans, Carl Kottner's Melody Ranch Hardway 6, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. Right now, though, meet the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
Be honest with me, dear, whatever you do. Remember your mind, dear, so always be true. Wherever you wander, on land or on sea, if you really love me, be honest with me. Someday I'll return, dear, and make you my own. And how I will yearn, dear, when I'm all alone. I'll never forget, dear, your sweet memory. If you really love me, be honest with me. My poor heart would break, dear, if you were untrue. Asleep or awake, dear, I dream about you. Oh, you are my darling, you're all that I see. If you really love me, be honest with me. Well, howdy there, friends and neighbors. Yes, it's good to have you at Melody Ranch again. So let's make the most of our time together. I'd like to mention a pleasant memory and one of the bright spots in my career. It happened during my first trip to England. Two young men came to me with a song, a Western song. I guess that's not unusual, unless you know that these boys had never seen our West, and for that matter, had never seen a cowboy. I liked the song, so Columbia recorded it, and a couple of million of you took it home with you. It goes like this. South of the border, down Mexico way, that's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander, my thoughts ever stray south of the border, down Mexico way. She was a picture in old Spanish lace, and for a tender while I kissed a smile upon her face. For it was siesta, and she was so gay. South of the border, down Mexico way. Then she sighed as she whispered manana, never dreaming that we were parting. And I lied as I whispered manana, for our tomorrow never came. South of the border, I rode back one day. There in a veil of white by candlelight, she knelt to pray. Some mission bells told me that I mustn't stay. South of the border, down Mexico way. Ay, 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 ay.
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 Getting worse than a woman, that's what he's getting.
There you go. Complain, complain, complain. That's all you ever do is complain.
Oh, yeah? Well, you'd complain, too. You had to take care of that silly dog like I do. One minute he's wagging his tail at me, next minute he's barking at me.
So?
Getting so I don't know which end to believe.
Sort of a split decision, huh, Patrick?
Yeah, you might say that. Incidental, while I'm on the subject of complaining, I might just as well get another beef off of my shoulders, namely the food around here.
I see. And just exactly what, may I ask, is wrong with the food around here?
Well, to put it simple, I ain't getting enough square meals for my round stomach.
Is that so?
Of course, I must admit, you got to be part octopus to get anything to eat at that table with all them other starving maniacs around it. In fact, just the other night, now you won't believe this, but the cook had just given me the main course. Well, I stooped down to pick up my napkin. When I looked up, she was asking me what I wanted for dessert.
So, let that be a lesson to you, young man.
Brother, you can say that again. That's how I lost my watch.
Now, wait just a minute. What's losing your watch got to do with how much food you get to eat?
Well, just this. The other noon, I took off my watch and I put it down on the table beside me while I helped myself to some gravy.
I still don't get the connection. What happened to your wristwatch?
Well, I ain't quite sure, but all through dinner, the guy next to me was a-ticking.
Well, Patrick, now I'll tell you. It's probably just as well that you don't get more to eat. As it is now, you look like a bale of hay with a middle wire busted.
Very funny. Middle wire busted. Well, don't think you can hurt my feelings, because for your information, I'm going on a diet. What's more, I'm going to keep right on eating anything I want.
Oh? Now, hold on there just one second, pal. How can you get thin by eating?
It's simple. See, when a person eats, he gets fat. When he gets fat, he gets lazy. When he gets lazy, he don't work. When he don't work, he don't get no money. When he don't get no money, he don't eat. And when he don't eat, he gets thin.
So long, Mr. Ivory.
That's so long, Mr. Yeah. I think that's about enough words without music. So we'll turn to the Cass County boys and the Blue Jeans, who have both. So, kids, take it away.
In my 10-gallon hat, I feel like $1,000,000 in my 10-gallon hat. I'm as brave as I can be.
I can rope in a mountain lion,
shoot down a buzzard flying. Wow,
that's what my 10-gallon
hat does for me. In my 10-gallon hat, I can ride the range like lightning. In my 10-gallon hat, I'm as fast as I can be.
I can outfeed a prairie rabbit,
don't need a riding habit, boy.
That's what my
10-gallon hat does for me.
Just like Samson's strength was in his hair.
In his hair.
Just like David's strength was in his sling.
In his sling. In my 10-gallon hat, I can go any old where. To any old.
Any old.
Any old thing. In my 10-gallon hat, all the West is at my feet. And in my 10-gallon hat, I am quite a sight to see.
For my hat makes me feel much bigger, much bigger on the trigger.
That's why I've come to figure out that my 10-gallon hat is something I can do without.
Thank you, boys and girls, for showing something new in 10-gallon hats. I remember when I made you cry, ages and ages ago. I'll never blame you for our last goodbye, ages and ages ago. Something told me when you walked away that time would make me miss you so. And though it happened only yesterday, it seems like ages and ages ago. Now I'm waiting with a broken heart. How wrong I was to let you go. I've lived a lifetime since we've been apart. It seems like ages and ages ago. Well, thank you, gang. Many, many thanks. And now for this week's story. It starts back when I was a freelance cowpoke and Melody Ranch was just a dream. I just checked into a small hotel, one of the first to be built in Hidden Valley.
That'll be $2, cowboy.
By the way, You know anybody around here who's looking for a good ranch hand?
Well, you might check with Red Meadows.
Who's Red Meadows?
Easy to tell. You're a stranger in the Hidden Valley Territory. Red Meadows happens to own practically everything in this town, including this hotel.
You don't say. Where do I find Mr. Meadows?
I try the Sagebrush State Bank, which, incidentally, he also owns.
When I entered the bank, I walked over toward a sign marked manager. Two men were seated across the desk from each other, and one of them, a man about 50, I'd say, didn't look too happy.
I'm sorry, Mullins, but a week is the best I can do.
The best Red Meadows can do, you mean? Maybe Red Meadows can ruin me, but he'll know he's been through a battle before he does it.
And now, stranger, something I can do for you?
No, sir, I guess not. I just changed my mind.
Well, young fella, what can I do for you?
My name's Gene Autry, Mr. Mullins. I'm looking for a punching job.
I can't pay you much right now, but if you're willing to string along a while, I'll promise to do better by you later on.
Mr. Mullins turned out to be a fine man. He soon told me all about his troubles with Red Meadows, and I hoped I could help him out of his jam. I didn't have to wait long to try, because late the next afternoon, Steve Nolan from the bank, Red Meadows' number one skin flip, drove up.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Yeah. Good afternoon, Mr. Mullen.
Hello, Nolan. What's on your mind besides trying to cheat me out of my ranch?
Now. Let us just say that the stockholders have overruled my decision, and the bank must have the money by Saturday, or we'll have to take suitable action.
So it's like that, huh? All right, go back and tell Red Meadows you carried out his orders. And since this place is still mine till Saturday, you can't get off my property too fast.
Look, Mr. Mullins, your bank loan is $10,000. How about the cattle you've already planned to market? Won't they bring in that much?
Just about, Gene, but, well, they're not quite ready for market. I need another 30 days.
Who do you sell to?
I've been selling to Lawford and Company.
Wonderful. I know Gabe Lawford. Used to work for him as a buyer.
Well, that won't get me $10,000 by Saturday.
Maybe it will. I'm going to make a buyer's appraisal of your herd right away. Come on, let's saddle up. Well, Mr. Mullins liked my plan, even if he didn't think it would work. I talked to Gabe Lawford the long distance to make sure he'd be coming into Rimrock on his weekly trip. Well, he planned to be there Friday, the day before the bank was planning to foreclose on Mr. Mullins' spread. I was waiting for the train Friday and grabbed Mr. Lawford as soon as he got off.
Gene, even though I trust you with my last dime, business just ain't done that way.
If there's any loss on this deal, Gabe, I'll go back to work for you for nothing till I've made it up.
If this means that much to you, Gene, guess I'll do it. Hey, Joe, take over, will you? I'm going down to the bank.
Camp and I headed back for the Lazy M with $10,000 in cash traveling with us. Mr. Mullins couldn't wait for the bank manager to show up the next morning. And he didn't have to wait either.
Well, well, if it isn't Mr. Nolan. We've been expecting you. Do come in.
Yes, thank you.
I think you met Gene Autry the other day.
Yes. Look, Mullins, I hate doing things like this, but...
I understand. You're only following orders.
Correct.
Well, Nolan, since this whole thing's going to cause so many people so many heartaches, maybe I ought to relieve you of any unnecessary suffering. All right, Gene, give him his money.
It'll be a pleasure.
There you are, Mr. Nolan. $10,000 in cash.
And before your hand starts shaking too much, you better mark my note paid in full.
Well, Mr. Mullins was feeling mighty fine about 2 hours later when there was another knock on the front door. And this time, our caller wasn't expected.
Well, well, howdy, Sheriff. I guess you haven't seen Nolan or he'd have saved you the trouble of coming out here. He's already got his money.
I saw Nolan all right, Mullins, but he didn't say anything.
In that case, what are you doing out here?
Nolan's dead, Mullins. And I'm putting you under arrest for his murder.
Of course, I'd known where Mr. Mullins was every minute since Steve Nolan left the Lazy M Ranch. But nobody paid much attention to me. The sheriff was in cahoots with Red Meadows, and he had a hand-picked jury. Meadows was the coroner. The sheriff even produced a witness to the murder at the coroner's hearing.
Now, Mr. Adams, just tell us exactly what you saw.
Well, Sheriff, it was like this. I happened to be coming down the road from Dark Canyon Pass, and as I got to where the road forks with the Lazy M Road, two fellas were riding like crazy. I thought it was Mullins here chasing Steve Nolan. Mullins pulled his gun and fired, and Nolan fell off his horse. Mullins pulled up fast and headed back toward his own place. I saw there was nothing I could do for poor Nolan, so I hurried to your office to tell you what I'd seen as quick as I could.
Adams had his story down pat, and Coroner Red Meadows sounded pretty convincing when he told the jury that murders have been committed for a lot less than $10,000. The coroner's jury was only out 15 minutes.
Quiet, please, quiet. Gentlemen of the jury, have you reached a verdict as to the cause of death?
We have. We find that Steve Nolan died at the hand of Charles Mullins, and we recommend that Mullins be charged with murder in the first degree.
Red Meadows seemed mighty pleased with the verdict. Instead of going back to the bank, he got on his horse and headed out into the country. I thought he might be going to the Lazy M. Wherever he was heading, I wanted to know about it. So I untied Champ from the hitch and rail and followed him, being cheerful to keep him from seeing us. That wasn't as hard as it might have been, because he headed up an old abandoned road with only one outlet and stopped at a weather-beaten hunting shack.
It's me. Open up.
Well, how'd it go?
Just like I knew it would. They charged the old coot with first-degree murder. Your murder, Nolan. I'll get the Lazy M Ranch yet.
What about my half of the money? The $5,000 you promised me?
Why, Steve, you're dead. A jury said so. You died at the hand of Charlie Mullins.
Oh, wait, you wouldn't murder me, Red. Now put the gun back.
Oh, well, we gotta have a corpse before the trial, Steve. We could get away with a closed coffin for the coroner's hearing, me being the coroner. But when it comes to the real trial, we'll have to produce a body.
You've gotten away with a lot, Red, but you can't get away with murder.
Why, how could they accuse me of killing you? After you're really dead, I'll discover that you stole most of the depositors' money out of the bank. I'll clean it out.
Well, if you're going to shoot me, go ahead and get it over with. Go on.
Anything you say, Nolan.
Don't reach for that gun, Meadows.
I shoot it out of your hand again. Only this time my aim might not be so good.
Smarter than I thought you were, cowboy. All right. How much do you want?
You're not buying your way out of this, Meadows. You're signing a full confession, implicating the sheriff and that phony witness, Adams, you called him.
Yeah, you might as well, Red, because whether you do or not, I'll spill everything I know about you, which is a plenty.
Looks like you made a bad mistake, Meadows. You know, a fellow with as few friends as you have should try to keep them, not kill them. Folks, you know, Mother Nature plays a prominent part in the way of a cowboy's life and the way he thinks, acts, and lives. Somebody must have had that thought in mind when they wrote the words to our cowboy classic for today, the always poplar and plenty melody from the sky. Love is everywhere. Its music fills the air. All nature seems to hum a melody from the sky. Over on the hill, I see a whippoorwill. I hear his song become a melody from the sky. And there's a bluebird singing to his lady love above. The love song taken from the whispering breeze in a tree. Love is everywhere. Its music fills the air. All nature seems to hum a melody from the sky.
And there's a bluebird singing to his lady love above, a love song taken from the whispering breeze in the trees.
Love is everywhere, it's music. All nature seems to hum a melody from the sky.
Well, Gene, we sure have had our usual good time at Melody Ranch. Though I must admit we didn't get much work done around here today.
No, we didn't, Charlie. But we had a lot of fun, so maybe we'll be reconciled to go back to work again tomorrow. Well, folks, I guess that's just about it. And this is Gene Autry asking you to keep thinking of us until we're back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn caterpillar on the lowly gentleman, I'm back in the saddle again.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.